Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
We're going to continue tonight. This can be amusing at times. I don't make any apology for that because I wasn't in the story. I didn't write the story. But tonight we're going to be talking about Daniel chapter 4 a little bit, and I'm not going to read it verse by verse, but I'm going to give you the overview, and you know by now, I'll give you a little bit of review. Daniel was taken captive, he and the three Hebrew children. He was about 17. He made a determination in his heart that he would live with integrity and honor. He also was a man of prayer, so were the three Hebrew children. We understood that King Nebuchadnezzar had a tormenting dream, that he forgot the dream and he did not know the interpretation. He called for the sorcerers, the astrologers, the magicians, the Chaldeans. That's a whole bunch of people, by the way, and they could not interpret the dream, as it should be. And so you know the rest of the story, and his mind has left him. He's a disturbed king. He has a mental illness. I will just tell you that right now he has a mental illness, and it came from the devil. And the lifestyle that he lived that comes from worshiping idols and demons, that sort of thing, and messing with the devil's kingdom. And by the way, if you ever think that you need to go have your cards read or you need your fortune told or something like that, take a lesson from King Nebuchadnezzar. If you'd like to lose your mind, go right ahead. But that is not what you want to do, because that is messing with demons and they torment your mind. Talk about troubled. When Nebuchadnezzar used the word troubled, by the way, it was a word tormented. We're going to see the word troubled here tonight, and it's going to have a new meaning. It's going to mean grieved, okay? You can have a troubled spirit that is a tormented spirit. You can also have a troubled spirit that is a grieved spirit if something wrong or hurtful, painful, sorrowful has come into your life. And so King Nebuchadnezzar was someone who had dreams. Now, let me tell you something about how good God is and how much God loves everyone that he has ever created, including crazy King Nebuchadnezzar. He was giving him these dreams and these different things to try to get his attention. That's the mercy of God. That's the grace of God. And we're going to see that yet again tonight. And so all kinds of things went on in this story. And we know that the king promoted Daniel and as well as the three Hebrew children. And he made them higher than he did the astrologers, the sorcerers, and all of the people in his kingdom that were his advisors. So now Daniel and the three Hebrew children that were not even Babylonians by birth, they were Jewish by birth, they have suddenly got promotions over those people that had, let's call it tenure, for lack of a better word, and seniority, whatever you may want to call it, and they're very angry, and they're very jealous, and they're very upset. How many of you know people that when people get promoted or advanced above someone and they don't feel they deserve it, they can become jealous? And jealousy is as cruel as the grave, and so they wanted them dead. Makes sense, right? And so tonight, as history would repeat itself, unfortunately, we're going to see these same magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, sorcerers, all of the above, called on the carpet once again. And so this is the second dream of Nebuchadnezzar, and he is, by the way, a slow learner. And I want to tell you, if the sorcerers and the magicians and the Chaldeans and all of the so-called wise men that were not wise enough to do this and did not do their job, you know, they were hired as sorcerers and magicians to do these things and they could not fulfill their job. So I wonder if they got paid. But they could not fulfill what the king asked of them. And if they couldn't do it one time, what's the chances they're going to be able to do it the second time? Let's say zero. Okay, and so the King Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 4 has another dream. Yes, or another dream. But there is something interesting about chapter 4 of Daniel. It may have been penned, the book, and is the book of Daniel, but what we're reading are the words spoken all by King Nebuchadnezzar. In chapter 4, it's very interesting. He's telling the story, not Daniel, not anyone else. He is telling the story. This is his testimony that is penned here. So we need to go into it understanding that. If you see in verse 2, it says, I thought it good to show the signs. Nebuchadnezzar, he introduces himself as Nebuchadnezzar, the king of all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. Peace be multiplied. He addresses all the people of the earth that dwell all in the earth. Peace be multiplied to you. Now, he had no peace, but he's hoping peace for everybody else. That, go figure. He thought it was good to show signs and wonders that the most that the high God had wrought towards me. How high are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, his dominion from generation to Nebuchadnezzar. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. Flourishing in my palace. I was living the good life. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Now, in that instance, the word troubled actually means tormented. The visions, this tormented me. Now, how many of you know that that's what was said about the first dream, that he could not remember the dream, he could not certainly interpret the dream? And so in verse 7, it said, then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, and they did not make known unto me the interpretation. So we see now that, now it doesn't say, by the way, theologians will tell you, it doesn't say that they didn't try. It says that they did not do it. They did not do it to his satisfaction is what this means. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar to him, according to the name of my God. Did you catch that? Verse 8 says, but at last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him, I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, who is Daniel, by the way, master of the magicians, you're the best, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you and no secret disturbs you, troubles you. Tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of my head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. So this dream is about a tree. He has a dream. Now, he's giving the account of this. This is his testimony of how Daniel interpreted his dream. And this time, the dream is a person. It's a personal warning to the king. It's about a tall tree that's going to be cut down, that is cut down, and only the stump of the tree is going to remain. And Daniel tells the king in the dream, in verse 19, let me read verse 15 first. In Daniel 4:15, but let the stump and its roots bound with iron and bronze stay in the ground. In the grass of the field, let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal till 7 times or 7 years pass by for him. Okay? Did you catch that? This dream is about a tree, but the tree represents him, Nebuchadnezzar, a man. And a lot of times in the Bible, like men walking as trees, remember? Trees represent people, branches that bear fruit, that kind of, and there's a representation there. So the dream is not speaking about an actual tree, it's speaking about a person. Let him be drenched. Let him live with the animals. Let his mind be changed. But I love what Daniel said. Now I'm gonna read you a verse, and when he talks about the dream, and okay, this is Daniel in verse 8. I'm gonna read verse 18 and 19. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. This is my dream. Now therefore, O Belteshazzar, Daniel, declare the interpretation. So let's go back to this and let's read this again. The dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, Daniel, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but you are able. Talk about faith and confidence in a person. They're not able. You are able. Okay, his memory's being jogged a little bit here, okay? For the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was stoned for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. Okay, in this instance, it's where troubled changes from being tormented, like Nebuchadnezzar was tormented, to grieved. And this his thoughts grieved him. He was sorrowful. And the king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble you, grieve you. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream, I wish it was for your enemies, but it's not. But it's not. He's grieved because he wishes this dream was about his enemies. He's got no beef with this king, but God wants to get the attention of this king. And when God gives you an assignment, you have to do it with integrity. And Daniel had integrity. And you have to be honest. And you have to tell it exactly like God gives it to you. And so Daniel is sorrowful about this. He's not really tormented about this because he serves God. He knows how powerful God is. They've seen it. He's witnessed it. But he is sorrowful even for the king because Daniel, remember, he knows what this means. He understands what is going to happen because God revealed it to him. And so he's speaking about a tree, but I think something was, let's read it. The tree that you saw which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven and the sight thereof to the earth, whose leaves were fair and the fruit was, there was lots of fruit on the tree and there was meat. For all, there was enough for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. In other words, this was a tree where birds could come to and find their habitation. This was a tree where there was fruit enough for so many people. This was a good tree. It is you, O king, but you are grown and become strong, and thy greatness is grown. God has made you great, and he's lifted you up and made you a strong king. And your influence reaches to the heaven, and your dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one. Now, the king did not know what to call God, so he calls him, and a holy one come down from heaven, and saying, cut the tree down, destroy the tree. Now, the tree's him. Yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, and that's bondage, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field. Okay, we're talking about a tree now. We're talking about a his portion. We're talking about a him now. Till 7 times pass over him, which is 7 years. And he says, this is the interpretation, O king. Now, mind you, Nebuchadnezzar is the one who's talking here. He's the one who's talking, but he's telling the story correctly. What happened? This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High. He's telling what Daniel said, which is come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. You're going to live with the animals. And they shall make you to eat grass like oxen. You're going to actually eat grass. Now, this is a king. Can you imagine all the wonderful bounty? Remember Babylon? And they shall wet thee in the dew of heaven, and 7 years shall pass over you till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto you. After that, you shall have known that the heavens do rule. In other words, you don't rule. You're not that strong. You're not that great. It's not all about you. It's about God. And until you get to that point, it's going to, and he's telling him, the prediction is, the prophecy is, it's going to take 7 years before you bow. Do you know it takes people sometimes a long time when they have a hard heart? It takes them a long time when God has blessed them and they think they have no need for God because they've got the magicians and the soothsayers and they've got the bounty. They're a fruitful tree, they believe. I've got money. I've got power. I've got all of these things. I've made my own kingdom. And until we know that God is king and it's his kingdom, it may take a while, but you will get the message because God is merciful. But I love what Daniel in 27 says, and I'm going to read a different translation now. In 4:27, he's going to try to give the king what is some godly advice. You know, if you have all these soothsayers around you and you have all these other people and they can't cut it and they can't do their job and they can't interpret things, they can't help you in any way, why wouldn't you listen to somebody like Daniel? He said it himself. I know that you can do this. So he should have believed what Daniel said, but not just believed it, taken it to heart. And this next part is where he missed it big time. Daniel is about to give him wisdom from heaven. He's about to give him advice that is priceless if the king would have taken it. So 27 says, therefore, O king. And by the way, Daniel is always very respectful. He served under four kings and he was very respectful. Therefore, O king, please accept my advice. Be pleased to accept my advice. Please do this, king. He must have cared for that king, or he would have just said, this is it, I'm gone. He didn't. He said, please do this. Renounce your sin and do what's right. Wow. Do you know how powerful and how awesome that advice is? To accept godly counsel, to put away sin, to break off of sin and do what's right, and put away wickedness by being kind to the oppressed, show mercy to the poor. Okay, here's the problem. Daniel wouldn't have said this if he didn't know something, that he was not doing these things. And so he said, put away your wickedness, start being kind to people, start helping people, start loving people, doing what's right. Just accept my advice. It may be then that your posterity will continue. In other words, if you would only repent, this could all change. This is what is supposed to happen, and this is what will happen because of all you've done. But if you will repent, possibly you will be blessed. You will be blessed if you will do the right thing and if you will turn to God. It's not just saying we're sorry for our sins. It's by doing the right thing is what he's saying here. And it's so important. So I'm going to continue reading verse 28. We're going to pick up on verse 28. But verse 28 is very, very simple. It simply says this. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. Now remember again, King Nebuchadnezzar is the one who is speaking this and basically writing this. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. In other words, if this happened to me, I would say, and all of this came upon Pam. It happened like he said it was going to happen. How many times in your life has that happened? So it's a very short verse. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. And verse 29 tells the story. Again, King Nebuchadnezzar himself. 12 months later, I'm going to stop right there. 12 months later. 12 months later. 12 months later, 12 months later, does anybody understand what I'm saying? From the time Daniel told him, if you would only repent, God gave him 12 months. That's a year. That's a year. Someone told him, you need to repent. You need to do what's right. And God, in his mercy, before this happened, gave him 12 months. Later, as the king, watch this, 12 months later, continue, as the king was walking on the roof of the palace of Babylon. I can picture him today. I can picture him walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. Here I am. It's been 12 months, and I ain't repented, and nothing has happened to me. It's like a prophet coming to you and saying, if you continue, I'll use Janice because she's not going to sin. If you continue, Janice, in your sin, and you're going to get in trouble, I tell you, God's going to take everything away from you,
And Janice is up because she lives on a rooftop apartment, by the way. She has that rooftop up there. And because I've walked up there many times. And I can picture her walking up there. Nothing's happened. They said I would get in trouble. The pastor said, if you do this sin, you're going to get in trouble. Do you know how merciful God is to us so many times? But that's not what the Word of God says. It said, if you do this, you will be blessed. And if you don't do this, you will not be blessed. And when you sin, we repent. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, watch this. If this isn't arrogance before God, I don't know what is. He said, is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power? Excuse me? All we have belongs to God. It is not by my mighty power that I can build anything. I can't breathe without God. Is it not the great Babylon that I have built as, and by the way, that's discounting all the other people who may have built Babylon too. This is I. This is pride. Pride has I in the middle of it. By my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty. What? Who writes a speech like that? That is the most foolish speech I have ever read in my entire life. That is so foolish. You build nothing. You do nothing without the hands that God gave you, the feet that God gave you, the eyes that God gave you, the ears that God gave you, the wisdom that God gave you, the brain God gave you. You are not the mighty power. Only God is mighty. And only God gets the glory and the majesty. And so God has now had enough. You know what I think? Turn the tables, and God decided now. Because he could have said, you know, this verse could have read 24 months later. Had he just kept going, okay, I'll give him a little more time. Let's see. 18 months later, 3 years later. But it says 12 months. And then it explains why it's 12 months. Because here, God sees he's been told to repent. He knows better. And now he's standing on the rooftop and he's spouting off his mouth. This is all about me. This is all. And God's just like, I've had enough. It is time that's going to happen to you. God finally had enough, and there will come a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, and it's not if, it's when. And it may be different in every one of our lives. But so verse 31 says this. We're going to flip to 31. Says, the words were still on his lips. Okay, he was still talking, blah, blah, blah. It's all about me. It's my kingdom. It's the glory of my majesty. And verse 31 continues, and this is cool. It says, the words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. Now, you said your speech. Now we got someone else about to speak a speech here. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, this is not Daniel speaking. This is not King Nebuchadnezzar speaking. This is a voice from heaven. This is what is decreed for you. And I love this. If you didn't catch this, the words were still on his lips when a voice from heaven came down. God interrupted him. It's like, I'm still speaking, God. And God's like, wait a minute. The voice from heaven has come down. It's like God literally interrupts him. The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. This is what's decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Interrupt your speech. Interruption, we have a timeout. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and you will live with the wild animals. Now, he already knows this. He's been told this. You will eat grass like you will be driven away from people. You will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. 7 days will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High, that would be me, is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. In other words, you only got this kingdom because I gave you this kingdom, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claw of a bird. We have a claw man here with actual feathers. We have a man eating grass here who was once a king. A king. But the problem is, although he was a king, he thought he was the king. And that's a problem because there is only one true king. But here's the thing. In the mercy of God, sometimes the consequences of the wrong we do and the sin we commit, they're not punishment of sin. God's not punishing us for sin while we're here on earth. Punishment of sin is hell, okay? That's the punishment for sin. That's the judgment of sin. So it's not punishment, it's consequences. But the consequences of our sin while here on earth should lead us to repentance before God. And that means that any consequence is the mercy of God. It's the grace of God extended to you to give you one more chance, one more opportunity. Now that this sin did not work out for you and you keep cursing me and you keep, like Frida says, against the Holy Spirit, God will let something happen in your life until you will say, okay, God, I get it. I need you. I need you. I'm not in charge. I'm not who I think I am. And here's this king. It was immediately fulfilled. He turns into this, but something wonderful happens. Let's go back to verse 26, and this is what it said. In verse 26, if you read this chapter, it says, your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Do you know that things will begin to be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules? When we acknowledge God, when we begin to acknowledge God, when we begin to give God honor and glory, that's when things start being restored to us. So if you feel like you're here tonight and you've lost some things, and maybe it's some consequences, you made wrong choices, wrong decisions, if you will honor God and begin to glorify God and acknowledge God in everything, then those things will begin to be restored to you. Some of your stuff that may have been taken away in because of your sin or your missteps. But it says your kingdom will be restored when you acknowledge that heaven rules. And so we see that at the end of 7 years that King Nebuchadnezzar raised his eyes to heaven and his sanity was restored. Let me tell you something else, and I acknowledge that mental illness really does exist and that emotional illness really does exist and that some of us have battled things, panic attacks, fear, all kinds of things. But I do maintain that Jesus is the healer and that we talked about yesterday the crown of thorns upon the head that paid for so many things, for brain tumors, for mental illness, for that we would have a sound mind, I believe, is due to the blood that was shed that came up his head so that my head could be a healed head, so that my head would not be a stubborn head, a hard head, so that my head could be in order, my mind. And I do believe that if you suffer in these areas, that one of the things to do is to acknowledge God, is to lift our eyes like this king towards heaven and say, I honor you, God, and all of heaven rules. And you know, here's the thing. It didn't have to take 7 years, just like I said with the 12 months. That was the mercy of God, the 12 months. God is into timing. You know that. God's clock. He's into timing. He operates on an eternal clock. And I really believe what I said, that when this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar 12 months later and he was walking on the roof and he began to say these things, that's when God is like, it's done. It's done. We got to act and we got to act now. And I also believe that even the prophecy at 7 years, if he had said at year 5, I'm going to lift my eyes to God, I'm going to honor God at year 5, you would have seen, but Nebuchadnezzar, you would have seen, the story would have been written different. It would have said, yes, it said that I would be on the ground for 7 years, but at the year 5, I repented and turned my heart to heaven, and God restored me at year 5, and I was spared 2 years. That's what he could have done this at any time, but he did not. And God was prophesying the future and telling them the future. And I'm just telling you, this happened over and over. And we're gonna have our musicians come, and they're gonna. I like to leave people hanging, and we're gonna have our musicians come, and we're gonna spend a time of worship. I feel like worship is so important. I really do. And next week we're gonna talk about the son of this King Belteshazzar. And again, I don't know how many times the same things have to be in families over and over and over. But Belteshazzar, I just want to leave you with this thought. Who do you think when he gets in trouble and something happens, who do you think he's going to call on? Almighty God? Not so fast. The sorcerers and the Chaldeans. I've heard this in the Bible. I read it over and over, and I'm like, what was wrong with you people? What is wrong with you? If it didn't work for your father and your grandfather, if they called upon the sorcerers and the Chaldeans and it didn't work for them, and it kept not working, why are you calling them? Why don't you find a Daniel in your life, somebody who fears God if you're in trouble, somebody who's anointed, somebody who will pray for you, somebody who will speak the truth like Daniel to you. Daniel spoke the truth. He didn't care. He did not care. And I say this all the time. I said this to someone today. I am going to tell you the truth you don't want to hear. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks about that. Tell the truth. But they didn't learn their lesson. So next week, we're going to see that sometimes we pass these things on to our children. And that's why it is so important for us to serve God and to not consult. You know, in Psalms, it talks about, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the seat, walk in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scorner. Be careful whose table you sit at. Be careful what they're saying, who they're consulting. Who's your advisor? Do you have someone in your life that you would allow to speak to you? I can't tell you how many people that I have counseled and told them, that is a wrong decision. And they've already made up their minds. They've already made up their minds. It's like you're just talking to the wind. But I can listen. I can sit and listen. But we need to be a Daniel. So I'm daring you to be a Daniel. That's what I'm going to leave you with tonight.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.